Good morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning and want to welcome everyone here, especially if you're visiting today. We're happy to have you with us and just invite you to worship with us and be part of our service. So this morning for a message, the title of my message is Christian Joy. And you know, I don't really know if you can have joy without being a Christian. I know that you cannot have true joy without being a Christian. So in some ways, that title is not really appropriate to put Christian there. But I just want to make sure that we are talking about that joy. So the reason I want to speak about this is I just simply see a need in my own life to have more joy. And I want to encourage us to have joy in our lives. I think, and I think you would agree, that there are too many Christians today that are unhappy. They don't have joy like we should have joy. We don't have joy. In light of eternity, Christians are the richest people in the whole world. And does it make any sense that Christian people should be unhappy? That someone who has a guarantee of eternal bliss should be unhappy? Does that make any sense? It doesn't, does it? And the joy that we're speaking of this morning is a little bit like Lauren's devotions. The last verse of that chapter that he read, how the father was telling the older son how he should be so happy and joyful. Someone came back to the kingdom. Someone came back to serving God and is coming back to heaven. You should be so joyful. It's an emotional joy that springs up within our hearts that the Holy Spirit gives us. I read this book this week that Chuck Swindoll wrote. Maybe some of you read the book. It's called Laughing Again. And I recommend that book to you to read. This book is based off of the life of Paul, and he goes through the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians. But the thing that I read a lot of interesting things out of that book, and I'm not going to share a lot from there in my message, but share a little bit now. He spoke about how laughing is a painkiller, and it's true. That they've done studies, and people that laugh, if you can laugh, it feels better afterwards. The pain is not so strong afterwards if you can laugh. In fact, he told a story of a man that had a disease that was a very painful disease. He dealt with very, very much pain. And so he got this, every day he'd go through this little time where he would watch a funny video. It wasn't crude humor, but he would just get this video that was funny, that would make him laugh, and he would laugh, and he made it a special time where he would laugh. He couldn't help but laugh. It was just natural. He wanted to laugh, and he noticed that he could have 2 or 3 hours of a real relief of his pain after he was done laughing. And I think laughter is like that. On the other side of it, most people are laughing in a fake way. You know, our laugh is really not from our heart sometimes. We're not smiling from our heart. And he told of another story of a comedian that he could get people to laugh. He was so funny. He was always happy. He just showed this abundant joy that he had. But one day, a doctor had a client come in, or a sick person come in, and he said he's just so depressed, just can't, terribly depressed. And the doctor said, "I, you need to go to this comedian. He'll get this out of your depression. He'll make you laugh." And he said, "Doctor, I am that comedian." So you see what I'm saying? There's two sides of the story. He made people laugh, but it wasn't from his heart. It wasn't what he needed. In this book, he wrote about a friar from Nebraska monastery that I'm going to share with you. I don't agree with all of it, but I still think it brings out our point this morning. Chuck Swindoll wrote this in here. And he said that I read this once in a while, so just to get my own life out of this, remember what life is about. This monk wrote this: "If I had my life to live over again, I'd try to make more mistakes next time. I'd relax. I would limber up. I would be sillier than I ever have been this trip. I know of very few things I would take seriously. I would take more trips. I would be crazier. I would climb more mountains, swim more rivers, and watch more sunsets. I would do more walking and looking. I would eat more ice cream and less beans. I would..." Okay, I got to find my place. "I would actually have more troubles and fewer imaginary ones. You see, I'm one of those people who lives like prophetically sensible hour after hour, day after day. Oh, I have my moments, and if I had to do it all over again, I'd have more of them. In fact, I'd try to have something, have nothing else, just moments, one after another. Instead of living so many years ahead of each day, I've been one of those people who never goes anywhere without a thermometer, a hot water bottle, a gargle, a raincoat, aspirin, and a parachute. If I had to do it over again, I would go places, do things, and travel lighter than I have. I would play hooky more. I would make such good grades. I wouldn't make such good grades anymore except by accident. I would ride on merry-go-rounds, and I'd pick more daisies." And then Chuck goes on to say, I know, just tolerating the idea of making mistakes and playing hooky and taking time to pick daisies is a tough lot for us." And I agree with him, it is. And admittedly, some have gone too far in that direction, and I agree with that too. But then he says, "It's one thing to err, but when you wear out the eraser before the pencil, we're overdoing it." And I agree with him. I think he's right on that point. So my reason for sharing this out of this book is to help us understand we are not as happy as we should be. I know that I'm not, and I know that my soul needs a bigger smile. And I think it's our souls that need smiles more than our faces, because if our soul has a smile on it, it has a big impact on what people see from us. So I'd like to, first of all, share some reasons why we don't have joy this morning. I think that, lost my place here a little bit. I might get it back here, not sure. I think that the one thing in the process of having in our church life, I think that's one reason, part of church life, fellowshipping together, we become so involved with getting along with each other, finding our position in the church, in our organization, that we sometimes lose track of the good things of being part of the church of Jesus Christ, and we lose the joy of being a Christian. We also forget about the joy of our salvation, and we're so burdened down with the dynamics of church that we can't be happy for what God has done for us. And, we need balance on that. We need balance on that. We need to know. We need those things. We need the church. And sometimes the church is hard to deal with. But we can still have joy. We're in trying to be serious, we forget how to be happy. You know, the Bible teaches us we're supposed to be serious. Peter says, he wrote, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour." You know, living a Christian life is a very serious thing. There is a very serious thing that we are dealing with when we're dealing with our adversary. and we need to be sober. But he wasn't saying that we should not be happy. There's a balance. We need to be have joy. You know, we don't know how to have inner joy and be serious at the same time. We are either in a ditch of despondency or in a ditch of fake happiness. And we're jumping from one ditch to another ditch because we don't understand or we haven't decided to balance joy, have joy while being serious correctly. And what naturally happens in my life, I think maybe some of us, we just get stuck mostly in a ditch of despondency because that's where we feel more stable. And we don't, but that's not balance. It feels stable, but it's not really where we're supposed to be. Christians, we also get burdened down with cares of this world, and we lose our joy because of that. In Matthew 13, verse 22, this was a parable. It says, "He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." So there's a lot of things in this world that we get caring about. Family problems, relationships, and not communicating properly can become a real burden to us, and troublesome times in our marriages and also in raising our children. We try to be married and have families while being focused on our own needs, and then we lose our focus, and we start looking at our own agendas too much. Our work frustrations. We're so busy keeping our positions and trying to get along with our coworkers, or we simply hate our work. We have a hard time being fulfilled with the work that we do. Our accomplishments are not big enough to suit us. Our work becomes monotonous, and we're just not happy. We have misplaced entertainment. We depend on our devices to give us joy, or something media to give us satisfaction. And we are also focused on entertaining ourselves with the things that we can actually have in our hands. That, you know, we forget where true happiness is coming from. And we have a tendency to focus on our circumstances too much to bring us joy. You know, if our circumstances are not good, we try to make them so that they give us joy. But you have to remember, circumstances just don't give us joy a lot of times. And so we become discouraged. We're depending on the world to give us joy. Jesus taught that we can have, I'm getting ahead of myself here. I have my notes all mixed up now, so you have to bear with me this morning. I'm sorry about that. I think this is it right here. I should have marked what page I was on here. I have to go through them every time now. I think this is maybe what it is. So anyhow, we have a tendency to focus on our own circumstances, and you know, that does not work very good. And so I would like to describe a little bit what real joy is, Christian joy is, what it's like to experience it a little bit. And as I studied this more, I realized that there's a lot more that I could say than I'm going to say this morning. But in Philippians 4, verse 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." And if you go look in the book of Philippians, the Paul is bringing out joy a lot in that book. And in not just the word joy, but in other words he uses, happiness, rejoice. He has a lot of emphasis on being joyful while going through our journey in our Christian life. And so Christian joy is in some ways one part a choice we make. But I just want to remember that Christian joy ultimately comes from God. Therefore, we have to depend on the Holy Spirit to give us that real joy. We cannot of ourselves bring joy into our soul. I think this is a point that we need to really remember, because let's just say when Paul says, rejoice. Okay, so you're going to start rejoicing. Well, what are you going to rejoice about? I mean, it's not something that you can just say, I'm going to have an emotional, joyful, I'm just going to be emotionally joyful right now. It's something that doesn't happen to us automatically. It's something that has to come from our soul within. And so Christian joy is something that Jesus gives us, comes through the Holy Spirit, after we have made a choice to do something else to bring that emotion on, to allow the Holy Spirit to bring that emotion into our life. And I think that there are many of us Christians that we decide, we read the verse, rejoice, so we put a smile on our face, and we try to be happy. And I'm not saying that's all bad. I think we need to try to do that once in a while to train ourselves to put a smile on our face. But I don't think that is the cure-all for it. So the choice we make is not like saying, well, I sort of explained that, but it's not like saying that we're going to have a happy soul, but it's going to be more something we do that gives us a happy soul, that gives us a smile in our soul. And Christian joy is experienced when we first become Christians. And I think most of us have maybe experienced that when we first got rid of that burden of sin, of guilt of our life, and we asked Jesus into our heart, the joy that came to us of knowing that we're saved, of knowing that Jesus is in our heart and that we have surrendered everything, that's a special joy that comes from within. It's the first experience, we could say. And I think Christian joy brings fulfillment and contentment unlike any other joy. You know, I have been joyful about something I was going to do, or even something good that happened to me. You know, for example, when I got a nice new vehicle, it gave me a sense of joy or happiness, you know, that new vehicle to drive that thing. Or I got a cash bonus or something like that. But those joys are fleeting. They don't last long. I wish that sometimes I could feel just like I felt like that vehicle when I first got it, but I can't get it back. That joy just goes away. It doesn't come back. And Christian joy is not like that. Jesus said, no man can take it from us. But there are many Christians who let their Christian joy be taken away by joy stealers. You know, there have been times in my own life where I have allowed other people to take my joy. They didn't take it. They took it, but it wasn't because they stole it. It's because I let them steal it. I sort of gave it to them, I guess. I remember a number of years ago, there was a non-Christian man that I felt was treating me very unfairly, and I had a hard time to be mature enough to forgive him. And I realized how much joy that man took out of my life because I let him. Because I cared too much about it. It didn't matter, really. Hudson Taylor said, it doesn't really matter how great the pressure is. It only matters where the pressure lies. And so, you know, sometimes when we get too much pressure in a way of somebody bugging us or whatever, it really bothers us and it takes our joy away. Well, Hudson Taylor is saying here that it doesn't matter how much pressure it is. It matters where we've allowed the pressure to be. See, he said that it never comes between you and the Lord. So he's saying that don't let the pressure, outside pressure, come between you and the Lord, because that takes your joy away. If you let the pressure, the Lord, be between you and the pressure, the more pressure, the closer it brings you to the Lord. And so you don't lose your joy. So that's a key to keeping your joy, is not letting anybody take your joy. Make sure God is first. Make sure God's in between there. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, because I look forward to heaven and have assurance of heaven, that gives me joy. And Christian joy is different than what most people would expect. The world thinks of joy much different than what the Christian joy is taught. Joy in the world is pleasure. It's all revolved around pleasure. Jesus gives us joy when we become a Christian. And it's a result of knowing that Jesus forgave us. I have another way of explaining joy, and I think I've shared this maybe before, but not so much. This is not so much true anymore as it used to be, but we have a little dog at home, Rocky. You might all know Rocky. He's not very pretty dog, but he's been in our house for quite a few years. But some years ago, earlier on, he used to be a little more lively than he is now, and we would send him outside, and then he would do his little. He'd want to come in. And then, you know, you could be ignoring him for a while and just letting him be out there. And he'd yelp a little longer. He wants to come in. So finally, you go over and let him in. And oh, the joy when he gets in the house. He's so happy that we let him in. He'd run around the house and just be so jubilant, happy. And I think that's what the joy that we want. We want that joy in our soul that Jesus gives us in our soul. That emotion, that we feel that emotion, I'm not saying that we're always going to feel it through the hard times and through the sorrow, but I think it's the joy that comes from within that the Holy Spirit gives us to us. And it's because of the grace of God that we get it. And that is a way for us, it is the way it is for us. When we remember what Jesus has done for us, it gives us deep gratitude. And joy, exceeding happiness. So I'd like to look at a little more now at a little more practical. It's not as practical as I'd like to have it, but it's maybe a little more. In how joy is a result of our faith in God. You know, our faith in God dispels all the fears and doubts that we have without God. And joy is also a result of obedience. Obedience to the Word of God creates joy in the heart to those who obey. And I'll give you an example of that. The Ethiopian eunuch, it says in Acts 38:39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And that's the same kind of joy, rejoicing, of a sinner that's come home, like Lauren read in his devotions this morning. And then in the Samaritans, in the one passage, it says they believed and were excited about their belief in Jesus as the Christ. Many believe because of one woman's obedience. And so obedience brings joy because the Holy Spirit gives it to us. It helps us. And we experience joy in forgiveness. And, you know, I remember when I was younger, and I went to Bible school 1 year, and I had had a hard, I had went through some sort of nasty things prior to Bible school, and I think I was in a little bit of fear and very depressed. And we had meetings at Bible school, and I remember giving, resurrendering everything to God, really giving it to him, you know, giving it back to him, and praying with an older brother. And for that time was, you know, there had been a real heavy burden on my heart, and I can still remember the rejoicing that was in my heart afterwards. And I just, you know, that joy is something that comes, that doesn't go away. Yeah, it might, the emotion might get less, but that emotion can come back at different times in our life as we go through hardships and in bad circumstances, where we recognize that God is with us and helping us as we trust him. So I want to also warn us of losing our joy. You know, when we lose our joy, we lose our strength. The song, "The joy of the Lord is my strength," you always wonder why that is. But we do lose our strength because we lose our confidence. We lose our joy. When we lose our joy, it affects our Christian lives in a couple ways. We lose our power to be victorious, and we lose our strength in witnessing to the world around us. Sinners are not attracted to our faith if we are not thankful to God about our faith, what he's done for us. And you can't be unthankful and have real joy at the same time. If you're thankful, the joy springs up more. If we lose our joy in being in Jesus, we start going through the grind of serving Jesus, and we don't appreciate and love him like we should. And being a Christian becomes a cycle of hypocrisy. You know, when I first came to Idaho, being here in the West, it was so exciting. It was the adventure and everything. It was really nice. And the mountains and, you know, every day was just like, I can't believe I'm living here. It's just, it was wonderful. But as time goes on, you know, I don't think about it that much anymore. And I think that happens to us. And the same thing that can happen to us in our Christian life, when we take what Jesus has done for us for granted, we lose that joy that we need to have. And we don't want to do that. We want to be thankful for what he's done for us every day. When we wake up every day, be thankful. Recognize. Go through a little thing in your mind. What did he do for me? What has he done for me today? How much we need him? You know, we have this problem where we think our life has to be a certain way, where our circumstances have to be a certain way to make us real happy. And that can be a real joy taker in many lives of our lives. It's hard to be joyful when we got yanked out of our box. And, you know, that's where I think we have to look to Jesus more to depend on our joy, because we don't want to change. We want to just have everything like it was, and we want to have everything lined up like it was. But we let that take our joy. I know that's a simple thing, but we do let that kind of thing take our joy. We can't do that. We don't have to have every situation perfect. Things can be totally off the wall, and if we trust in Jesus like we should be, and we let him have his way in our life, and we accept that. We accept that things are off the wall right now. They're not right. We accept that. We tell Jesus, I know they're not right, but I know you're going to get me through this. I'm going to trust you now. We can still have that joy during that time. That's what he wants us to do. Don't let ourselves become discontent and take that away. You know, in where we live, we've trained ourselves so much that there's no joy in sacrifice. But Christians, if you really want to have joy, you have to learn to be content and happy. You have to train yourself to do this, to be content and happy with little. Doesn't matter how much you have. Like Paul said in Philippians, whether I have much or small, doesn't matter. I need to learn to be content with little. And also be willing to sacrifice more and serve others more ahead of myself. That brings joy. That's where joy comes from. But it's coming from within, because the Holy Spirit gives us as a result of doing those things. So I just want to go over this a little more than just summarize it a little more now. You know, if you really want to be happy in your life, we have to make the choices to do that, to be happy and do those things. And it's not easy to be satisfied with little. We naturally want more and better. We have to remember that all joy comes from being totally happy and content with what Jesus has done for us. And we are thankful for our salvation and the life that we have through Jesus. That alone will make us happy and joyful. Simple, but hard to sustain. And then share a couple verses here in the last, in John 15, verse 9, 10, 11. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So real joy comes from being surrendered to Jesus and willing to bear the cross he gave us. And I feel in my own life, and possibly in yours, I know in many Christians that are dealing with this, that we do not have joy like we should, because we're not really willing to drink of the cup that we are given. And if we are willing to drink of the cup that we are given, I believe we can have joy. Jesus will give us that joy. And then I've got a poem I want to share with us yet in closing. The title of this poem is "How Can I Smile?" And Florence B. Hadagon wrote this poem. How can I smile? How can I smile when my heart aches and I'm lonely and sad? Because my Savior has entered my life and he can make me glad. How can I smile when my life seems a burden too great to bear? Because my Heavenly Father is here awaiting my burdens to share. How can I smile when I'm bereft of how much that life holds dear? Because though earthly friends forsake, my Heavenly Father is near. How can I smile when sorrow and pain are part of my daily life? Because a loving hand is stretched to help me bear the strife. How can I smile when home and love are taken away from me? Because my Savior sends his Spirit a comfort and guide to be. And so I can smile from day to day, though sorrow and loss I bear, for Jesus, my Savior, knows and loves I'm ever in his care. And I just want to leave that with you. Want to encourage us to have more joy in our lives, and to remember that if we want to be a real witness in this world, in our community, that we need to have that joy. That joy is what is showing the world and showing that we are what we really are. And hopefully they're not just seeing that we are boring people. I'm going to close with that.